Praise the Lord. Well, had a little saying I found this morning that I wanted to share with you. Never say that you cannot do something, or that something seems impossible, or that something can't be done. No matter how discouraging it may be, human beings are limited only by what we allow ourselves to be limited by. Our own minds, we're each the masters of our own reality. When we become self-aware of this, absolutely nothing is impossible in the world. Amen. How many believe that? Good. Well, wow. Sure, good to be home. It's always good to be home. Amen. No place like home. Thank God for that, right? Amen. Well, we sure love y'all and appreciate you being here in the middle of the summertime. And hopefully, you'll remain cool the rest of the service. Let's open our spirits up. Father, we just rejoice in your presence and your glory. And Lord, I draw from your source this morning to speak your word, to be in tune with your heart. Lord, everyone that came this morning, I pray you would touch them in a mighty way, heal the sick, restore those that have been downtrodden. Bring joy to those that have been sad. Bring victory to those that have seemed to walk in defeat. I pray your anointing now would break every yoke. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. We've been pondering the word for a couple of days, and the Lord has just really been blasting us with some incredible revelation right now. In fact, so much so that you have to kind of chop it down to make sure that you don't bring it all at one time, because it's amazing how God's speaking in this hour to the church. You know, throughout Paul's ministry, he kept pleading with them, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say, because he knew that once we tapped into the spiritual connection of his word, it would bring transformation to our lives. And one of the things that we understand is that it's not by the letter of the law that we change, or by the precepts or the doctrines that we interpret from the word, but it's the very essence of the word, the spirit of the word, that causes the transformation. You know, Corinthians says that we're transformed from image to image and from glory to glory as we reflect unto him. And one of the things that we've tapped into recently and really is exciting is the fact that when you think about the Spirit of the Lord, we oftentimes separate the Spirit of the Lord from the Lord. It's kind of like all of us are a body. Everybody say, I'm a body, I'm a soul, and a spirit. But as far as I know, most of you are carrying around that those entities in one piece. Is, you know, your spirit's not walking over here and your body walking over here and your soul walking over there. We're all one man, aren't we not? So, but we have three parts. We understand that. And God's the same way. He's a three-part being. He's a triune God. But yet he's one God. He's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But yet he's one man, one God, yet with three distinct characteristics or ways of manifestation. And so when we talk about the Spirit of the Lord, or when we come into the Spirit of God, where we come into that place where transformation becomes available to us, we understand that the transformation is not just to relate to a Holy Spirit that's separate from who he is. So when we say, Spirit of the Lord, come, we're saying, Lord, let your nature, your heart be revealed and manifested in the midst of us. Because, you know, if you want to know Bill Hart, you just don't want to know my spirit. You want to know me, right? I hope. yet you don't know me after the flesh, but you know me after the Spirit. Because the Spirit of the Lord that manifests through us is really who we are. It's not my flesh that you need to be concerned about, even though maybe some of you are concerned about my flesh. That's not your area of concern. My concern is not about your flesh. My concern is to know you not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because that's who you really are. You see, so when we look to God, we say, Lord, who are you? What are you to us? I want to know you. I want to know your whole person. I just don't want to know your Spirit. I just don't want to know your Son. I don't want to know just the Father, but I want to know you and all that you are. It said that all the fullness of God is in the Godhead bodily. It's all in the manifestation of God to us. So our encounter with the Lord this morning is to have a complete encounter with Him. Not a partial, oh, the Holy Spirit. No, God is with us. Hear, O Israel, God is one. We're one together with Him. So that was a little bit of the preamble this morning, because if you look in Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read some scripture to you, then I'm going to go back and comment. What I want to talk to you about this morning is, how do you come to the place of trust? And what does trust produce in you? And what does trust hold for you for your future? And so let's look in Colossians, and you might not see the word trust here, but I'm going to explain how we get there in just a minute. Beginning in verse 2, that your hearts would be encouraged, that you're knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, the first thing we understand is that everything is in Him. Everything. He is the source of everything that we become. What He is what I should be. And so I want to be found in Christ. One of the beautiful aspects about baptism is that we're buried with Him in baptism, symbolizing the death to the old nature. And in that baptismal tank is where we let the old man die. We raise up out of the tank into the newness of life. Because in salvation, not only our initial salvation, but our continual salvation, it's a continual process of letting that old thing die and letting the new thing be birthed in you. What stops you from your progression is when you keep holding on to that which has already been declared dead. When you hold on to the things in your life that no longer really are who you are. You say, well, I'm a bad person. Well, that's not who you are. You maybe used to be a bad person, but now you're not. Because now you're complete in Christ. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, all this wisdom, all this knowledge is now found in you. You are carrying about in you Him, His Spirit. So that nothing is limited, there's no limitation on how you can think or what you can be. Except what you impose upon yourself. Right? Everybody say, I'm new in Christ. So encourage yourself, knit yourself together. And we'll talk a little more about that in just a moment. Because in this encouraging yourself, knitting yourself to this, you begin to obtain the riches of the assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. And this is where trust begins to enter in. And let's look at trust just for a moment. When we trust Him, or when we trust something, it means that we're relying upon something that we perceive to be greater than ourselves. When we begin to rely upon the Lord, we're relying upon His character and His track record for what He wants to give to humanity. We're relying upon His strength. We're relying upon His truth. Our confidence, then confidence becomes like a dependence. The more confident you become in something, the more dependent you lean upon it. If you have full confidence, say in the bank, and you make your put your money there, and say you have a lot of money, and so when you go to put a lot of money in, and by the way, if you have a lot of money, come speak to me after the service. I'm joking. In case you're a visitor or occasional visitor, occasional attender. But it's like when we tithe, when we commit, when we sow a seed into the Lord that way, we have an assurance and a confidence that what we deposit that we make is going into a place that will cause great reward to come back to us. Amen? When you trust something, you lean upon it. You depend upon it. You put everything into that. The more you trust, the more you'll commit. See, the less we trust, the less our commitment is. We ask people, why don't you commit more to the Lord? Why don't you commit more to the local church? Well, if we're not committing, then it means there's something insufficient in our perception of trust. If you have a hard time committing to someone, a person, it means you probably don't really trust that person. Because you're afraid. See, the lack of trust breeds the atmosphere of fear. So when you don't trust, you'll walk around in a fear to make an investment into any given situation. But when you trust, you're all in. All right? How many know that it takes a long time in a marriage to build up the trust? It takes sometimes many years for married couples to get all in, where they really trust the other person. That doesn't mean that they think the other person is perfect or that the other person will not make a mistake, but yet, by and large, they begin to trust that relationship as much as we can on a human level, right? So the longer we see the continual action of one party, the more we can begin to respond to that action with commitment. Am I making any sense? The longer someone is consistently dependable, the more then you can feel confident in your trust. That's why the Bible says that we have a lot of teachers, but we don't have many fathers. But those teachers come and go, don't they? Right? That's part of their nature. They teach this for a season, teach that for a season, here for a season, there for a season. But fathers abide forever. So to get to the realization of who is a father that I can trust. And that's what the church is doing right now. There's a shift going on in the body of Christ to where the fathers are being revealed. Something we can trust in so that there can be a channel of flow opened up to us that begins to create in us a confidence that cannot be stolen away from us. So we're knit together so that we can obtain to this full assurance, I know that I know that I know in whom I believed. There's no doubt about it. God is true. He's consistent. He never wavers, nor is there any shadow or movement in His commitment to us. I'm the Lord thy God. You can trust. Wow. It took a lot for Abraham to trust God, didn't it? I mean, you'd think it would take something. Because here this man was living in his own land, having his own life. Probably, if he was in our day, he'd already had his 401k built up. He had his a little estate with his family. Very prosperous. Very prominent. He was born and raised right there. But it said that he heard a voice speaking, "I'm going to make you a father, many nations." Thus began the family of God upon the earth. Because one man said, "I trust you, Lord. And I'm willing to go out of my land that's been so comfortable and sojourn looking for a city whose maker and builder is from heaven." See, the church in this hour is in this metamorphosis of finding the city that's built in heaven. We're looking for a city that hasn't been built by man, but it's been built by the Spirit of the Lord. That's coming down from heaven. Heaven to earth. Vic, I'm so proud of you guys. Wow. Morgan, praise the Lord. Wow. Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. Sitting in our congregation this morning. It all began because he trusted the Lord. He was willing to follow God when no one else understood. To birth the church that Jesus Christ is looking for upon the earth, it's going to take a people that trust him without reservation, that are willing to go where no man's dared go before. But Lord, nobody's walked out of Ur of Chaldees and taken off into the wilderness to find you. He said, "Abraham, I've called you. Abraham, I've called you." There was enough of what he heard, what he connected to in the Spirit, that caused his whole life to transform. There's no limitations for any believer, is there? As I read that before. No limitations. Everybody say, "There's no limitations." But oftentimes we think that there's no limitations just for what we want to be. It's not just for what you want to be. The Lord said there's no limitations. Sure, maybe you want to be a rocket scientist, or maybe you want to be a this or that. That's great. Aspire to that. Obtain it. Go for it. But what he's saying is that I want you to become something special upon the earth that carries my DNA, that's so given over to me that you begin to manifest my promise through your life. I love that. And it says in verse 6, "As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk you in him, rooted and built up in him." So this whole process, I know that in our 45-year-long journey, if I've learned anything, it's this one thing. I have learned nothing that profits me one bit apart from my ability to trust him. I've heard just about every doctrine preached. I've heard every new revelation preached. I've heard every revelation for 45 years. I went through every movement that you can go through in 45 years. I went through the Jesus movement, the charismatic movement, the prophetic movement, the faith movement, the kingdom movement, the healing movement. I've been through all those movements, and they're all wonderful. But none of them compare to my ability to trust him and what that will reap in my life. Because movements come and go, but he abideth forever. So on your journey, you're going to go through a lot of things, and they're wonderful things you're going through, but they're not the thing. The thing is to come to that place where the Father is revealed through you. Because that's your destiny, to become fathers and mothers of Israel. You may be a young person this morning sitting here, maybe in your teens, your 20s, maybe your 30s. Believe me, you're young when you're 30-something. Sometimes when you're 30-something and something goes wrong in your life, you think your life's over, but it's not. You're just beginning. In fact, you could be 40-something and things go all pot. And you think, my life's over. No, you're just beginning. Well, maybe you're 60-something and you think, oh, my God, I've run my course. No, you're not. The Lord is just ready to begin something special with you. Maybe you're 70-something. And the Lord's saying, now I'm going to begin something brand new through you. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You see, it's never too late. No matter how old, young you are, or how old you are, God is not late for you. He's ready to do something special through you, individually and as a people. Wow. So, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith. You see, in the Old Testament, trust is the major theme. In the New Testament, faith is the major theme. Well, they're really synonymous, aren't they? They go together. But in a way, they're separate. Because trust is, I would say this, trust is how God positions faith to operate. Because when you have the confidence, you know, in Hebrews it says, don't cast now, therefore, away your confidence, because afterwards it will bring great reward. So when you really settle the matter of trust in your life, you've created a foundation by which faith can explode. That makes sense? The foundation of trust creates a foundation by which faith can begin to manifest in your life. Because faith is that deep assurance that whatever God said, He will do it. Faith is calling those things as not as though they were. Faith is calling into being out of nothing something. So in each one of us lies this dynamic connection that God has given to us through His Word. The Word that created in us this assurance, this reliance upon who He is. You know, Jesus had to trust God. Talked about Abraham, but let's go back to the Father. When this whole purpose of creation, of creating a new nation upon the earth, the creating the image of the Lord upon the earth, the Father knew that there had to be this propitiation for sins made, or the substitution for sin, someone to be the scapegoat in order to take this division and this deception and this failure of man out of the equation and insert the righteousness of God to it. And so in doing that, the Father sent the Son to the earth. Now, you have to understand, when Jesus came forth, He's called Jesus Christ. How many believe that? That's right, Jesus Christ. Jesus was a name, wasn't it? A common name. That's the name of a man. In fact, in the Spanish, isn't Jesus, isn't that, yeah, same? So here's Jesus. But what's the separation? Why is Jesus different than any other Jesus in the phone book? Because He carried the anointing of the Lord, called the Christ. Christ means Christo, the anointed one. He was the anointed one of God. So but the thing that God took a risk on was that He put His whole plan for humanity and the world in a man. He trusted that man to make the right choice. Now, if you think that that man had an easier choice than you, you're wrong. Because he could have chosen the wrong thing at any time. But what separated him from what failed in Adam was that he chose to do the will of the one who sent him. See, your life begins to have great meaning when you are willing to forfeit your own destiny for the greater destiny that God has called us to be in. So, yeah, but isn't my life mine to live, mine to choose, mine to be what I want to be? Yes, it is. It's just that though if you really want to be what God wants, then you take that choice and you make the choice for him. Jesus said, "Behold, I've come to do thy will, O God." And in the Garden of Gethsemane, here he was faced with this excruciating, painful, horrible, shameful death that he would have to incur on the cross. And he prayed to the Lord three times, "Lord, let this cup, if possible, God, let this cup pass from me." Because what man in his right mind would choose that path? It sure didn't seem to be a path of victory. If you were to poll people in Jerusalem, "Hey, don't you think it's cool that Jesus is going to be mocked and stripped and beaten and scourged and nailed up on a tree and hung up on a hill called Golgotha? Isn't that the coolest thing you ever heard of?" No, that's the worst punishment possible. Could imagine. We all know the story. But yet here he chose that route because he knew that was the route that God wanted. But at any time, he could have chose a different route. When the devil tempted him in the wilderness, then the devil said, "Hey, you can be all this and be all that." And it's true, he could have been any of that. He could have said at any time, "Father, let this happen," and it would happen because God had vested that much trust in him. Yet he was willing to turn that back and make the decision to make the choice that would benefit what God's purpose was upon the earth. So you have a choice today. You choose to be as much involved with what God wants or as little involved. You choose to be all, you can choose to be all in, or you can choose to be back here, or you can choose to be back there. Remember when Jesus was feeding the multitudes and they were all so excited. He had healed the sick and he fed them all this bread. And all of a sudden, here this Jesus became an overnight mega church pastor. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were following him. And right in the midst of that great throng of adoration and people hungering to have this great touch from the Holy Spirit, he stands and says, "If you really want the kingdom, eat my flesh and drink my blood." And all of a sudden, he went overnight from being the greatest mega church pastor of his era to having the smallest church. He had 12 left. He said, "Well, you guys going to leave too?" He said, "No, Lord, we can't leave. Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life." It's okay to want signs and wonders. It's okay to want bread from heaven. It's okay to want our needs met. But I want to tell you, that's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about meeting your needs. The signs and the wonders and the miracles are evangelistic to reach out to those that are hurting and those that are dying and those that need help. We need that. But you, the body, come on, grow up. What you need is him. "Well, I came to God today so he could touch me." Find him and guess what? You'll get touched. And he'll touch you more than you can handle. Amen? Kind of like my grandkids, they came running up and said, "Papa, Papa, give me some money. Papa, Papa, would you take me somewhere? Papa, Papa, I want ice cream. Papa, Papa, I want to go to Schlitterbahn." Yeah, I'll do all that stuff for them. But I'd rather them come up and say, "Papa, I love you. I just want to be close to you. I want to hear shakalababalabakasakaba in my ear because I know how affectionate you are." You see what I'm saying? The church needs to understand that God will meet all your needs. But we should not come here just because he's a need meter. We should come here because we've come to do thy will, oh God. We've come to be connected to who you are. That the spirit of this family can become real in us to where we can become the children of Abraham. People of faith that are creating a nation to change the world. The world's not going to be changed by signs and wonders, wonderful as they are. And I risk every time I say that, somebody, oh, you don't believe in signs and wonders. Of course I do. I'm a sign and wonder. I mean, come from where I am and stand where I'm at today, that's a sign and a wonder. I love signs and wonders, but that's not the issue. The issue is, am I going to be one with him? Am I going to be knit together with God? And am I willing to be knit with you? Am I willing to trust you enough to give you my life? Just as the Father trusted Jesus and Jesus trusted the Father. The pathway before them was hard and difficult and arduous. And even the Apostle Paul, you look at the apostles in the New Testament church, they walked a life of great difficulty and persecution and suffering and pain. Yet everything they walked through, Paul said, the pain, the agony, the sufferings that I'm going through are not worthy to be compared to the glory that God is manifesting in my life. So you're going through some pain today? It's all right. You're walking through it. You'll make it. Don't you feel sorry for me? No. It might just be your opportunity to find him. See, sometimes we pull people out of the fire just when they need to get burned real good. Just when they need to get that, like the Terminator. Remember when the Terminator they burned him, put him in there, and all of a sudden he came out, all of his skin was gone, the only thing that was left was a skeleton? Sometimes we need to get that. We need to get just the skeleton left so God can begin to create what he wants to have on us. We need to leave that old man in that tub and come up as a new man, ready to be clothed from on high. The old clothes passing away, the new clothes coming on. Knit together in love. I pray that this thing will be so rooted and grounded in you that it cannot escape you again, that you'll be so established in this, that you become this mighty man or woman of faith, knowing that nothing will shake you from your place. See, in the Hebrews, it talks in the last day, there's going to be a great shaking, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken loose, but the kingdom will remain. The people of God will remain in the midst of the shaking. So I'm so worried about what's going to happen in the world. I'm so worried that the world is just going to disintegrate around me. It may take me with it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just you be rooted and grounded and knit together. And whatever the world goes through, it'll go through. But what's in you cannot be destroyed. What's in you is eternal. What's in you is divine. What in you has been inspired by someone that has a far greater mind than we have. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. He is the hope of glory. He's a triumphant one that cannot be destroyed. Nations may rage and people may bellow and things may go all to pot. We may have political deals like we got this year. I mean, you look at America, it looks crazy right now, but don't worry about it. Look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. Look up, God's creating in you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. God's uniting you with the Father Spirit. God's uniting you with brothers and sisters. God's uniting you in a family that's going to become the perfection, the bond of love upon the earth that will reveal who the nature of God is. And that completely strips away that old religious junk that we were subjected to. for so long. Lord. Man, I'm preaching myself silly. As you've been taught, so this establishing the faith as you've been taught, and what happens in that after this? The abounding begins to come. I like the abounding part. I like it when I'm abounding. I like it when things are springing up. Abounding. I think the disciples had some abounding when they walked down the street and their very shadows would heal the sick. I mean, they were connected to something powerful. Now we get healed, get healed, get healed. No, they just walked around and healing took place. Hallelujah. Wow. Demons cried out, wow. Amen. There'll come a time that every person that's sick will be healed. Everyone that comes in will be healed. Everyone you encounter will be healed. But it won't be because you necessarily have to tell them to be healed. You're just going to walk in their midst, carrying this spirit in you. Well, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Wow. I didn't know it would happen that way. Yeah. Because when this nature of Christ begins to manifest more fully in us, this love, this faith that works by love, the motivation that, you see, what happens when you submit your will over to this will of this great one, when that begins to happen, all of a sudden, that submission of that will creates a connection that creates a manifestation of who he is. All of a sudden, you're no longer speaking on your behalf. You become the oracle of God. You become the mind of Christ. You become the compassion and the love that he has for humanity, so much so that he was willing to die for it. He loves everyone that much that he died for each one of us individually. Wow. I love it. Whew. Are you willing to trust him? You know, Psalm says that we roll our cares upon the Lord. For in this New Testament, he careth for our souls. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord, for he cares for your soul. I know some of you are probably carrying around some awful heavy burdens. Cast them upon him. Roll your burdens upon the Lord. In the book of Job, it talks about, in the midst of this great trial that Job endured, his friend Elihu said, just wait. Just hold on. Just focus. Put your thoughts upon him. Because in the midst of this storm that you're going through, Job, this loss of everything, there's a God that's greater on your side. Stay. Wait for this to come. Wait upon the Lord, and he will renew your strength. So if you're getting caught up in some stuff now that's just freaking you out, start waiting on God. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. All of a sudden, you'll find, woo, man, you'll become strong. And even in the face of death, remember Job said, Lord, even though I would get slayed in all this, I still trust you. I still trust you. I still put my trust in God. David said that in the midst of his fear that gripped him, and all of us face fear, don't we? We give into it from time to time. Now, I don't care how spiritual you are, fear does a great toll on many people. But in the midst of your fear, just confide in the Lord. Lean upon his understanding. Like Isaiah trusted the Lord in everything that he did. When a man trusts in himself, he'll be doomed to disappointment. If you trust in your friends, some of them die, some of them leave you, some of them betray you. When you trust in a pastor, He may fail you. He may disappoint you. When you trust in your own reputation, it only takes one word from one vindictive, bitter person to destroy that. But when you trust in God, you'll never be confounded nor confused. So you say, Pastor, you're telling me, you just told me not to trust in you. No, you don't trust me. You trust Him in me. I would never want you to trust me. I have the potential to fail you at any time. I mean, I could crash and burn. I mean, after 45 years, I hope to God I don't, but I could still crash and burn. So what would you do with me then? Quit coming. No. You're not trusting in who I am. You're trusting in whom I believe, in whom I'm connected to. Well, I just can't trust people anymore. They failed me. My wife failed me, or my husband failed me. My boss failed me. My teacher failed me. My pastor failed me. My government has failed me. Something's failed me. I can't trust anymore. You can trust in Him. He is true, and every man's a liar. And you can also trust in the spirit that God's creating in the midst of us. Because you'll never find a people that you could call perfect in the flesh. I don't care how long you look or how long you seek. But you can find a people that are like Abraham. And look at Abraham's faults. Man, he had a lot of them. Let's don't talk about them. He had lots of faults. Look at David. My Lord, what faults that man had. David and Abraham would probably, neither one qualified to be ordained by any of our major denominations today. Yet they're the mighty men of God upon the earth. Because they trusted Him. You can trust Him this morning, and you can trust what He is in your brother and your sister. Because that's your hope of salvation. Hallelujah.